Imagine like a really crowded restaurant, right? The line is out the door, everyone is absolutely starving, but absolutely nobody is willing to order the overpriced steak. They are all just sitting there drinking tap water, staring at the menu, and waiting for the chef to lower the price of the burger.
Which, I mean, that completely breaks the fundamental rule of economics that we all learn in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Because usually when supply shrinks and, demand goes up, prices are supposed to skyrocket.
Yeah,
That's just the gravity of the market.
but they aren't. And we've actually been tracking this fascinating shift in consumer psychology over our last few deep dives.
We really have.
Yeah, we've seen buyers across all these different sectors, like groceries, cars, travel, finally hitting their limit with inflation and just setting incredibly hard boundaries.
It's just done.
They're done. They are simply refusing to pay yesterday's premium prices. And now we are seeing that exact same stubborn, disciplined behavior showing up in, well, the most emotionally charged purchase a person can make.
Buying a house.
Buying a house. And nowhere is this standoff more intense right now than in the Phoenix, Arizona housing market.
Which is wild because housing is historically the one sector where financial discipline just completely evaporates.
No, totally.
People fall in love with a kitchen island or a nice backyard. The fear of missing out takes over, and they just throw their budget out the window just to win the bidding war.
But not in Phoenix. Not right now. So today, we are decoding the absolute latest intelligence from the Home Acquire Market Pulse article. And just to note, this pulls its underlying data from Redfin. So we are going to look under the hood of a market where supply is tight, but sellers have almost zero pricing power.
It's a fascinating dynamic.
It really is. We need to figure out how buyers are enforcing this standoff and what it means for your next move if you are looking to buy, sell, or invest in this exact environment.
Because to understand the tension, we have to look past the surface level inventory numbers.
Right.
If you only look at how many homes are for sale, you might assume, oh, it is time to panic buy.
Because there aren't enough of them.
Exactly. But you have to understand the specific mechanical levers that are keeping prices grounded right now.
Okay, let's unpack those mechanics. Because the data proving this standoff is wild, year over year, active inventory in Phoenix is actually down 3%. We are sitting at about 33,230 homes on the market, and the months of supply metric is down 9%.
So let's just pause and translate months of supply for anyone who doesn't track real estate every single day.
Good idea.
Think of the housing market like a bathtub, right?
Huh?
The water flowing out of the drain is buyer demand, and the water coming from the faucet is new sellers listing their homes.
Okay, I'm with you.
Months of supply just asks, if we turn the faucet completely off today, how many months will it take for the current buyer demand to drain the tub entirely empty?
Got it.
So a lower number means the tub is draining faster. It is a classic indicator of a tightening market.
So the tub is draining faster, and to make it even more intense, the drain is opening wider. Buyer demand is genuinely stronger right now. Pending sales are up 10% from last year, and closed sales are up 6%.
Which is significant.
It is. Fewer homes available, more buyers actively pulling the trigger. That sounds like the exact recipe for prices going to the moon.
It really does.
Yet, despite the squeeze, the median sale price right now is, well, it's essentially flat. It's hovering right at $459,000, which is actually a tiny bit lower than the $460,000 we saw last year.
Which is so counterintuitive.
And get this, only 12% of homes are selling above their original list price.
Yeah, and this is where we see the market transitioning from a rubber stamp environment to what I like to call a filtering environment.
Okay, wait, I need you to break down that filtering concept. Because if I am a buyer and I know there are 3% fewer houses to choose from, my instinct is to fight for the one I want.
Of course.
So how are these buyers collectively holding the line?
Well, think about 2 or 3 years ago. We had a rubber stamp market. A seller would throw a wildly aspirational number on a listing, say $50,000, over what the house next door sold for.
Right, just making up a number.
Exactly. And a buyer, completely terrified of losing out, would just rubber stamp that price with an aggressive offer, often completely waiving their appraisal contingency.
Meaning they promised to bring their own cash to the closing table if the bank thought the house wasn't actually worth the asking price.
Precisely. They covered the gap with their own savings just to validate the seller's dream price.
Wow.
But today, we have a filtering market. Demand is absolutely there. I mean, the increased transaction volume proves people are buying. But buyers are strictly anchoring their offers to the comps. the closed comparables.
The mathematical reality of what actually happened last month, not what the seller hopes will happen tomorrow.
Exactly. And the mechanism here is the appraisal. Buyers are looking at the math of that house down the street, and they're refusing to pay a premium just because inventory is slightly tighter today. They are letting the bank's appraiser filter out the seller's aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
If the seller wants $500,000, but the comps say it's worth $475,000, the buyer is simply saying, I am not bringing $25,000 of my own cash to cover your delusion.
They just aren't doing it.
No. They're forcing the market back to mathematical reality.
Hold on, though. That makes sense from the buyer's perspective. But if I'm a seller and I know inventory is shrinking, why shouldn't I just hold my ground? I mean, if I don't want to drop my price to meet the comps, I can just sit and wait. Eventually, some desperate buyer has to come along and buy my house, right?
See, that is the most dangerous assumption a seller can make in a filtering market. Because time is not neutral in real estate.
What do you mean?
Time is a heavy penalty. The longer a house sits on the market, the more leverage shifts entirely to the buyer.
Okay, let's look at the data on that penalty then. Because the median days on market in Phoenix is now up to 59 days. That's up from 56 days last year. You are sitting for basically 2 full months, and roughly 24% of active listings, a full quarter of the entire market, have had to take a price cut.
And it's not a small cut.
No. The average price cut isn't just a cosmetic $500 trim. It is 3.18%.
Let's put real dollars to that percentage, because that's important. On a $459,000 median home, a 3.18% cut is almost $15,000.
Wow.
That is $15,000 of equity wiped out simply because the seller misjudged the starting line and tried to test the waters with an inflated price.
And here is where the seller psychology gets really interesting to me. The home acquire data shows that relistings are up to 612 compared to 522 last year.
Yep.
So this means more homes are completely failing their initial launch, sitting there, taking that time penalty you mentioned, and then the sellers are pulling them off the market just to throw them right back on a few days later.
Right. The old delist and relist.
It's the classic delist and relist reset strategy. To me, that is like putting a fake mustache and glasses on an overpriced house and hoping the buyers walking through the door won't recognize it.
That is a great way to put it.
Like, oh, hello, I am definitely a brand new listing. Pay no attention to the fact that I was here 2 weeks ago for 15 grand more.
The fake mustache analogy is perfect, honestly, because it highlights how transparent the process actually is.
Right. You can't hide it.
You really can. Buyers have incredible digital footprints right at their fingertips. Their agent can see the entire pricing history with two clicks.
Yeah.
But the deeper mechanical flaw of the delist and relist strategy is that it ignores how market attention works. Think of a new real estate listing, like fresh bread in a bakery.
Oh, I like this. The moment it hits the shelf, it smells amazing. Everybody wants it.
Exactly. And the first weekend is when you get the absolute maximum amount of eyeballs, foot traffic, and raw attention from the most motivated buyers in the entire pool.
Mm-hmm.
If that early traction is thin, if 20 people walk through the door on Saturday and absolutely nobody writes an offer, that is the market speaking to you with absolute clarity. The market is voting no on your price.
Wow.
Pulling the bread off the shelf on Tuesday, putting a new wrapper on it, and putting it back on Thursday doesn't make it fresh again.
The buyers already tasted it and decided it was too expensive.
Exactly. When a home sits for 60 days, buyers do not walk in and think, oh, I'll just offer the asking price.
Never.
The psychology shifts entirely. They walk in asking, what is structurally wrong with this place? And how massive of a discount can I extract from this exhausted seller?
Right. They smell blood in the water.
The staleness becomes a weapon. Sellers must adjust their price immediately after a week opening weekend before the listing becomes the very comparable that buyers use to negotiate them down.
So that 59-day average time on market paints a, you know, a somewhat intimidating picture for the whole metro area, but you cannot just take that broad data and apply it blindly.
No, you definitely can't.
Because real estate is famously hyper-local. When I'm reading through this Pulse report, the moment we zoom into specific zip codes, this buyer-seller standoff just fractures. It looks completely different depending on where you stand in the valley.
Absolutely. Treating Phoenix as a single, uniform market will ruin your negotiating strategy. The microclimates dictate who actually holds the power in the room.
It's like crossing city lines is like changing time zones.
Yeah.
Let's look at the tale of four very different suburbs. First, you have Chandler. The data categorizes this as a firmer market.
Okay.
The medium price there is $530,000. They only have 2.2 months of inventory, and homes are moving at a fast 49-day pace.
Pretty quick.
But then you drive 20 minutes up the road to Scottsdale. This is a softer market. The median price is nearly double, sitting at $969,000.
Right.
Homes there are closing at 96.73% of list price. Above list wins are rare, and massive price cuts are incredibly common. Why does a 20-minute drive completely flip the leverage? Why is the million-dollar market softening while the half-million-dollar market is moving fast?
Well, we have to look at the financial mechanics of the buyers in those two distinct pools. Chandler represents the sweet spot for incoming dual-income professionals.
Okay, that makes sense.
That $530,000 price point often utilizes conventional conforming loans. It is the absolute maximum threshold of what the average upper-middle-class family can absorb with today's interest rates.
Right.
So demand clusters intensely around those affordability ceilings.
Whereas in Scottsdale, the math completely changes.
Radically changes. In a $969,000 market, you are dealing with jumbo loans. The pool of buyers who can swallow a 7% interest rate on an $800,000 mortgage is incredibly thin.
Very thin.
Alternatively, you are dealing with cash-heavy buyers or retirees who have their wealth tied up in the stock market or other assets. Those luxury buyers are highly sensitive to broader economic shifts, and they absolutely refuse to overpay.
Interesting.
When a Scottsdale home closes at 96.73% of list price, we are not talking about shaving off a few hundred bucks. On a million-dollar home, that buyer just forced the seller to take a $30,000 to $40,000 haircut at the negotiating table.
That is a staggering amount of leverage for the buyer.
It really is.
And then we have these areas the data calls mixed markets, like Goodyear and Surprise.
Right, the mixed ones.
Yeah. In Goodyear, the median is $480,000, and homes are selling for an impressive 99% of list price, but the pace is a slow 69 days.
That's a strange combo.
It is. And then in Surprise, where the median is lower at $423,000, you have this wild dynamic where near-list closings are happening right alongside 44% of the active listings taking brutal price drops. If you are out there trying to buy in these mixed markets, your strategy is going to dictate whether you get a deal or get completely fleeced.
Oh, without a doubt. Navigating a mixed market requires a dual-track strategy. You really have to evaluate each house as its own independent ecosystem.
So?
Well, if you walk into a home in Goodyear that is freshly painted, perfectly staged, and the asking price is mathematically backed by three recent closed comps in the exact same neighborhood, you still need to move fast, offer strong.
Because the Chandler rules apply to that specific pristine house.
Exactly. But if you walk into a listing in Surprise that has been sitting for 45 days, has poor photos, or is clearly listed $50,000 above the comps.
Which happens a lot.
It does. Then you pivot immediately to the Scottsdale rules. You switch into aggressive negotiation mode.
Right.
You target that staleness. You ask for a lower price. You ask for the seller to buy down your mortgage rate, or you ask for closing credits. You must treat the comp-backed homes and the stale homes as two entirely separate games.
It is all about situational awareness. All right, we know where the market stands historically, and we know how it changes street by street. But to truly gain an edge, we need to look at the immediate trajectory.
Because real estate moves daily.
Exactly. Let's look at the absolute latest week-over-week shifts to see who is actually winning the tug of war at this very moment.
The weekly pulse is basically the canary in the coal mine. It tells us if the dam is about to break.
So looking at the most recent week, the supply side actually slipped again. Active homes ticked down. Meanwhile, demand improved. Pending sales went up to 7,186.
Okay.
We also saw that price drops and relistings eased slightly compared to the week before. The environment tightened up another notch. So the question is this the calm before the storm?
That's the big question.
With supply slipping and demand rising week over week, are we about to see prices explode again?
Well, the pricing data from that exact same week tells a different story.
It really does, because despite that tightening, the median sale price held exactly steady at $459,000. Yep. The pace held perfectly steady at 59 days on the market. And the sale-to-list ratio only ticked up by microscopic fractions, landing at 97.99%. The dam isn't breaking.
And this brings us to the most crucial metric anyone monitoring this market needs to watch, the sale-to-list ratio.
Okay, tell me more about that.
A shortage of homes, a drop in inventory, a spike in pending sales. None of those things actually matter unless closed deals start validating higher prices.
Oh, that makes sense.
Think of it like a charity auction.
Right?
There might only be one painting left to bid on, and the room might be packed with wealthy people. But if absolutely everyone in the room refuses to raise their paddle above $500...
the painting sells for $500.
Exactly. The crowd determines the ceiling.
So until we see a clearer, sustained rise in that sale-to-list ratio pushing past 100%, the verdict remains unchanged. The buyers are holding their paddles down.
They absolutely are. Do not let shrinking inventory trick you into assuming runaway prices are guaranteed. The closed comparables are the only truth. Until the comps physically move higher, the market value does not move.
The buyers are basically acting like bouncers at an exclusive club.
Pretty much.
They are standing at the door, checking the IDs of these new listings, comparing them to the guest list, which is the comps. And if the price isn't validated by the math, they simply aren't letting the deal through the door.
Which creates a very clear, actionable reality for both sides of the transaction.
Let's summarize that ultimate playbook based on all of this granular data. If you are buying in Phoenix right now, your anchor is the closed comps.
Definitely.
Ignore the wild aspirational asking prices. Find the real mathematical value of the neighborhood. And when you spot those stale, lingering listings taking that time penalty, use that as your leverage to negotiate aggressively on terms and price.
And on the flip side, if you are selling, defense is your best offense. Price tightly to the comps from day one. Treat your first weekend of showings as the absolute unfiltered reality of the market. If buyers are walking through and not writing offers, adjust your price immediately before your listing becomes a stale cautionary tale that buyers use against you.
Keep the fake mustaches in the costume drawer, guys.
Please.
They do not work on smart buyers. In a market that filters price instead of just blindly rubber stamping it, being armed with this hyper-local mechanical understanding is your ultimate superpower.
It really is.
It is the difference between securing a smart investment and getting trapped in a frustrating, very expensive stalemate.
Knowledge of the mechanics protects your equity.
It absolutely does. And that brings us to a final thought I want to leave you with today. Something to mull over as you watch your own local market dynamics play out.
Let's hear it.
We started by talking about how the golden rule of supply and demand seems broken right now. How that crowded restaurant of hungry buyers just refuses to order the overpriced steak.
Mm-hmm.
If buyers in a traditionally hot, fast-growing boomtown market like Phoenix can successfully link arms and enforce a strict price ceiling despite shrinking inventory,
it makes you wonder.
Could this mark a permanent psychological shift in the American home buyer? Are we finally seeing the absolute end of FOMO in real estate replaced by a new era of cold, hard mathematical discipline?
It forces us to ask if the emotional premium on housing has permanently evaporated.
It changes the entire foundation of how we value the American dream. Keep your eyes on the comps, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.